Why don't we start in Romans chapter number 3, and you're in for a treat tonight. I got some things clearer about what I was preaching on. We've been preaching on the mercy and compassion of God, and we're not going to necessarily preach on that tonight, but some of the things that came out during that series we were doing just have been stirring in me. And particularly tonight, I want to share some more tonight about the blood of Jesus. Amen. You know, there's a lot of ignorance in the body of Christ concerning the blood of Jesus. The devil hates you to talk about the blood of Jesus because that's where the power is, really. That's where the power of redemption is. They overcame Satan in Revelation 12:11 by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And so the word of their testimony refers to their faith or their confession of faith in the blood of the Lamb, what the blood had done for them. And that's how they overcome the enemy. So this is enemy-defeating substance, you might say, the spiritual substance of the blood.
Amen.
It's got power in it. The more you talk about the blood, the more full of power you get.
Amen.
I heard a minister one time, he said, you know, you need to get so full of the revelation of the blood and excitement about the blood and so full of the Holy Ghost about the blood that if a mosquito comes up and bites you, he flies away singing, "There's power in the blood." Power in the blood. There's power, power. He flies over to your house. You hear him singing. He's been over to pastor's house, you know. Amen. There is power in the blood. There's forgiveness in the blood. There's cleansing in the blood. There's mercy in the blood. There's redemption in the blood. There's boldness in the blood. Yeah, there's power. There's healing. There's protection. How many of you know we looked over in Exodus, the 12th chapter, where it talks about God told him, put the blood on the doorpost and stay in there because the death angel's going through tonight. And they were spared from death through the power of faith in the blood. And you remember we were talking about how the New Testament mentions about, I think four or five times. It talks about they sprinkled blood. Through the sprinkling of blood, that Moses sprinkled blood on the people and on the elements and the book of the law and on the articles and furniture in the tabernacle and so forth and so on, and that was applying it. And it says in Hebrews 11, I don't remember the verse number there, 41 or something like that, that by faith Moses sprinkled the blood. So, you know, today you don't need a hyssop bush to apply the blood. You do it by faith is how you do it. Today you apply the blood of Jesus to the areas of your life that Satan's trying to come after. You do it with the hyssop of your tongue. You apply the blood. If he's trying to hold you in condemnation, you start saying, by the power of the blood of Jesus, I am cleansed and I have a clean, pure conscience. And you quote what it tells you over in Hebrews where it talks about the blood of Jesus is better than the blood of animals. The blood of animals purged their flesh, but the blood of Jesus purges the conscience. From dead works, that means, sin consciousness. Hallelujah. The blood is powerful where it was applied in heaven. The blood is powerful when it's applied to your heart. It's powerful when it silences the voice of your the old message that your conscience was communicating to you and puts a new message in your conscience. And when you used to always have guilty, guilty, guilty coming up out of your conscience, the power of the blood now makes it right, makes you say up out of your spirit, your spirit says you're right with God. Not through works of righteousness, of our own righteousness, but through the power of the blood and faith in the blood. A new message. Praise the Lord. So we've been talking about that, and we've been using this key verse in Romans chapter 3, verse 25. If you look at the previous verses talking about the redemption that is in Christ there in verse 24, whom God hath set. They're talking about Jesus is the one whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Propitiation means a sacrifice that is, it's talking about Jesus. He's the sacrifice that makes us right with God, restores us to favor and fellowship. Amen. So not only is there righteousness in the blood, there's fellowship in the blood. There's remission of sin in the blood. You remember we looked at God said in Exodus that I will commune with you over the mercy seat because that's where his presence dwelt and that's where the high priest went in once a year and applied the blood of the animal and their sin was covered. In the Old Testament, they were covered. In the New Testament, our sins are remitted. But in the Old Testament, their sins were covered for a year. And they didn't pay the penalty for their sin. But it was all types and shadows of the blood of Jesus. Jesus didn't go into the earthly or holy of holies. He went into the heavenly holy of holies. And his blood is there speaking tonight. The Bible said his blood speaks of better things than that of Abel's. We're just reminding you of all those things we shared. And so Abel's blood, because of an injustice done, cried out for recompense. It cried out for judgment. It cried out for justice, you might say, and because of an injustice. But Jesus' blood speaks of something much better than a penalty. See, Abel's blood called out for a penalty. Somebody needs to pay for this. God said he heard Abel's blood talking. Do you know blood talks? And the blood of Jesus is talking where it is in the presence of God right now. And when it's been applied to your conscience, it's saying the same thing. The blood is saying something, and it's saying something better than Abel's. Abel's is saying a penalty needs to be paid. You know, there needs to be a justice here. Somebody needs to pay for this. But Jesus' blood doesn't call for a penalty. It speaks of the price paid. It speaks of reconciliation. It speaks of righteousness. It speaks of mercy. And it has stamped on it, paid in full. Paid in full. Hallelujah. No wonder the Bible said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Are you out there? Who shall lay anything to the charge, that's in Romans 8:33, to the charge of God's elect? You know what that means? When it says, who shall lay anything to the charge, the word charge means to call in a debt. Amen. To ask or exact a payment. To enter into account as something that's due. To accuse or burden with. Who's going to lay anything to my charge? Who's going to say you have to pay for your sin? Not God, because the next part of the verse says he's the one that justified us. The devil is always bringing accusations. He's always reminding you, you know what you did. And you know God knows, and you know we all know, and you know they know, and everybody knows, you know. And he's always trying to remind you of where you missed it. There's many of us still have this sense or this tinge of, you know, we still have to pay for something we did. And we're still living, you know, and one of the indications of it is no joy and no peace, because the work of righteousness shall be peace. The effect of righteousness shall be peace. Amen. One of the first things that shows up whenever you're aware of what the blood has done for you is, I have peace with God. In other words, we got to think more about that than just just calmness. Peace with God means no enmity. He's not the flyswatter God that. Well, you don't know how bad I missed it, and you don't know the power of the blood. That's why we're preaching on this, because the power of the blood doesn't just forgive sin, or it doesn't just cover sin like the Old Testament. It doesn't just forgive sin. It actually, and it doesn't just drop the charges either. You know, like it's still on your record. How many of you know if charges were pressed on you in any time in the past, anything you did, but then somebody dropped the charge, you know those are still on your record? That's not what God did, just drop the charges. And still has record of it. He does not have record of it because the Bible says, thy sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And then he says this, and where remission of sins is, there's no more offering for sin. That's Hebrews 10, verse 8, 17, 18, down and through there. And then in verse 19, it says, having therefore brethren boldness to enter into the holiest. So we've got blood righteousness. We've got blood boldness. We've got blood blessings. We've got blood victory. I'll tell you, there's power in the blood. Power in the blood. But the word remission, where remission of sins, there's no more offering. The word remission means to expunge. Expunge. In other words, to do away. It's not even on your record anymore. It's not just on your record, but charges were dropped. It's gone. It's not even on your record anymore. If you've done something years ago and something's on your record, you can actually go get some things expunged. I don't know the statute of limitations, how all that works, but, you know. So that it doesn't come up every time you go overseas or come up every time. See, whenever it's been expunged, it doesn't come up. The devil gets in the computer and tries to find it, and it's gone. It's just like you never did it. You've heard whenever Randall Greer came here, you heard him testify about, you know, all the things he did, but he had that expunged. It's as if he never did it. Wow. There's power, power, power in the blood. I'm not even a mosquito, and I can get that power. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The record's gone. Now, what you need to do is apply that to your conscience so that when the devil brings it up to your mind, he has to do it from out here. It's not this guilt trying to keep on coming up from the inside. The blood has already done that. Can you say amen? Amen. So through faith in his blood, we've been reconciled. This is Romans 3:25 here. We've been reconciled and restored to favor. Then it says to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Tell your neighbor they're past. In other words, they passed away through the forbearance of God. Remission means to expunge the record. Those things are past. They passed away. Remember, old things have passed away. They're not there anymore where anybody can pull them up. God said, I won't even remember them anymore. I expunge the record. Whenever you go talking to him about it, he's going to say, I don't know what you're talking about. I forgave you. I cleansed you. I cleaned the record. It's as if you've never done anything wrong. It's a little bit like whenever a baby is born. You never look at a newborn baby, and think, you know, all their past. Oh, my goodness. All the things they've done in their past. They have no past. That's what it's like to be born again. Yeah, but Pastor, since that time. Wait. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there should be no guilty voice coming up out of our conscience. We should be answering that and overcome that with the blood of the Lamb and our faith in the blood, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Hallelujah. So we've looked at some of this, and really, a story that I want to kind of use to get into what we're going to get into tonight is back whenever Pastor Debbie and I first moved here to Cedar Rapids. I think it was within that first year. We never had life insurance. I'm not saying it was smart, but we hadn't had life insurance, so we decided to get life insurance, and we got the people at the insurance company to sign us up. But then they wanted I don't remember if there was something else involved in this, but they wanted to have a blood test done. So they sent somebody to our house one day, and they took a blood sample. And then they went back to their laboratory, sent it to a laboratory, whoever, and they looked at this blood under some sort of, I don't know how they did it, some powerful microscope or however they did it, and they looked at our blood, and they sent us a couple of weeks later, if I remember right, a couple of weeks later, they sent us a printout of everything that was in our blood. I didn't know there was so much in my blood. I knew white blood cells, red blood cells. I heard of platelets one time. I just thought, well, it's just red and white blood cells. But no, there's serum and there's platelets and there's all this stuff. And they had a list, this is a long list of stuff that was in our blood. I don't remember how many things there were, but I remember it was a whole page or so full of things that's in our blood. There's this much of this and this much of this and these proteins and all these things. And I'm thinking, man, they didn't tell me that was in biology back there in high school. They didn't tell me everything that was in my blood. And when I got to studying the blood of Jesus, I started thinking the same way about the church I grew up in. They didn't tell me that was in the blood. They just told me I got a ticket to heaven. You know, be sure and be by the tracks when the woo-woo comes, you know, because woo-woo, be by the tracks, man. Here comes the, get loaded up. That's all I was told was in the blood. But we've just spent a few minutes just a few minutes of this service and just looked at just a few things. Let's put it this way. Just a few of the ingredients that's in the blood. Amen. Because just like there's a lot of things in Pastor Debbie and I, we both had it done, but a lot of things in our blood that we didn't know was in there. There's a lot of things in the blood of Jesus that nobody told me was in there. And that's why the devil today is trying to get people to not say anything about the blood. Whole denominations are putting out memos. Don't talk about the blood. It'll scare the children. Well, it didn't warp me. Amen. Amen. There is no, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. It's not through, we're saved by faith. We're saved by grace. Through faith. And grace refers to what he did on the cross. You can confess all day long without believing in the grace and tapping into the grace. You're not going to be saved. It's just tapping into what he did. You understand? So, but there's through further analysis, I've discovered there's more in the blood of Jesus, just like I discovered there's more in my blood than I thought in my physical body. Y'all still out there? Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. I went to the internet to remind myself about some of the things that's in the blood, and I'm like, quickly it went way over my head. You can't live without your blood. The Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh. You want to just hear a few things? Before I say that, let me say what happened whenever Jesus died and then he rose again. The Bible makes it plain. Hebrews talks about it. Other passages talk about it. That when Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible said he took his blood into the heavenly holy of holies. And he presented it there. And by it, he obtained, I believe this is Hebrews 9:24, if I'm remembering the verse right. He obtained an eternal redemption for us. So there's redemption in the blood. And that's just not redemption from sin. That's redemption from sin and all its penalties. That's redemption from a squirrely mind. Redemption from guilt. It's redemption from having to pay the price. Remember we said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who can say you got to pay for that? So not only am I redeemed from sin, I'm redeemed from paying the penalty for my sin. Woo! Listen, if the record has been expunged, we got to hear this more. We got to hear this more and more and more. But so Jesus' blood was applied, and he obtained eternal. So when God, when the blood was applied, it speaks of our redemption. It speaks of our victory. It speaks of all these things we've been talking about already. And so in one sense of the word, whenever Jesus took his blood to heaven, God put it under a microscope and sent us a printout of everything that's in the blood. sent us a printout of everything that's in the blood. This Bible is a record of things that are in the blood. And when I get to look at, the more I get to look at this, the more I realize, wait, there's more in the blood than I thought there's in. Just like whenever the insurance company had blood taken from us to find out what's in our blood. I guess they were looking for how high the pathogens were in there and how the foreign matter was and all that. I don't know, lipids and all that. They're probably looking for things that I don't even know what it, I don't even know how to pronounce what they're talking about, you know. I didn't know I had scutobelasakieto in my blood, you know. Can't even pronounce it. You probably ask, what's that? And they'll say, vitamin C. Oh, okay, that's what I have. I don't know. I'm just making that up. I don't know if there's any vitamin C in your blood or not, but, you know, they put big words on stuff. But when God sent us the printout, whenever he, I'm hypothetically here, but whenever he put it under that big heavenly microscope and everything appeared that's in the blood, he said, he pushed print and sent the word from heaven in the Bible and said, here's what's in the blood. There's not just forgiveness, there's remission. There's not just forgiveness and remission, there's healing. The penalty of sin is sickness and poverty and torment and spiritual death and all those things. But when the penalty was paid through the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, not only was the sin remitted, the penalty was removed. That's why the Bible says we're redeemed from the curse of the law. Because we're redeemed from sin. That's why it's dangerous stuff to dabble in it. Well, so, but that's what we need to recognize is that really God sent us the printout and it shows us everything that's in the blood. Hallelujah. No wonder the devil wants to remove all references from the blood because, you know, he doesn't want anybody to have faith. The devil doesn't want anybody to have faith in the blood. Beyond just, you know, ticket to heaven. If he can keep that away, he'll keep that away. Heard a guy on TV today preaching some sermon at a funeral. And he said, you know, we have assurance through baptism. I'm like, hold it! When they were baptized as a child, that doesn't make them a child of God. It's faith in the blood. Amen. Romans there said, through faith in his blood, who is a propitiation. Hallelujah. So, are you still out there? So, the thorough investigation of the blood of Jesus reveals every necessary ingredient for success and salvation. Amen. We see a printout in the New Testament. Amen. And when we see a printout, that's what we got to put faith in. We got to say, the blood did that for me. That's what's in the blood of Jesus. Amen? And whenever you do that, whenever you put faith in the word about what the blood did for you, then the devil can't cheat you out of what's in the blood. When the devil says, you're not going to be able to do this, you go, wait a minute, I got a printout right here. I got a printout from heaven, what's in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. What about, you know, one of the things in the blood is victory is in the blood. Yeah, you can win battles through the blood. You can win battles. I'm talking about battles where the enemy's trying to take you out. You can say, I am redeemed from you. Because one of the things Colossians 1 says is that through the blood, we're delivered. 12, 13, down and through there. We're delivered, and the Bible talks about in the context there, from the kingdom of darkness. Who hath delivered us from the authority or dominion or kingdom of darkness. And it goes on to talk about through the blood. Hallelujah. So when he tries to say, you're not free, you got to come back in here and live like this, bound and broken, busted and disgusted. You know what I'm talking about? You can say, I'm delivered through the blood. You have no authority in my life through the blood. And you can win every single time. Are you still there? So really the blood, you know, some diseases are carried in people's blood. Well, in the blood of Jesus, that blood carries everything we need. Redemption, forgiveness, cleansing from a guilty conscience, a sense of unworthiness. It has healing and it has blessing. It has victory. Hallelujah. Now, one of the things that I found when I started looking on the internet about the blood, I just started, you know, ingredients in the blood, started looking at what would pop up, you know, these medical journals and all these things. I mean, they can make you go cross-eyed if you're not careful. You got to go, okay, whoa, you know. But I'm just looking for the main thing. Sometimes I'll pull it in bullet points, and it'll say, let me give you some things that it says that the blood of the human blood does. It brings nutrients and oxygen to the cells and tissues of the body. And it also said it removes waste. Like carbon, what is it, carbon dioxide, I believe they said it removes carbon dioxide from the body. You know, whenever you, that has to be taken out. Like if cells die, blood cells die, or if cells in the body die, they got to remove that. It's waste. And it's always cleansing. Amen, cleansing. I could go three ways with that. Do you realize that the blood was not just applied to you one time when you got saved? 1 John, well, we're going to get onto this later. I don't know if we're going to get to it tonight. But 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all from sin, I believe it says, from unrighteousness or sin. I can't remember how it says it. Cleanseth. And in all these other translations, you look them up, they all talk about ongoingly. On moment to moment. Woo, glory to God. We'll spend some more time on that later. But the point I'm making is that the blood of Jesus, got several different functions. One of them is to provide, like I said, nutrients and oxygen to the tissues and cells. Another one is to remove waste. You know, like if there's a foreign invader of some kind, a bacteria, a virus, or even some sort of pathogens, you know, it's always trying to remove those things. Remove those things. Amen? And so, that's what it does concerning guilt. God's been having us on this. I mean, some of us are just needing to be washed in the truth that you're not guilty before God. Yeah. I'm talking about you're walking in all the light you have. Amen. You know, that the blood of Jesus, it says there, if we walk in the light we have, then we have fellowship with one another. We're going to spend more time with that because the blood of Jesus doesn't just restore us to fellowship with God, but it does do that, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. We can come before God. We're restored to fellowship with God. But the blood of Jesus, here's the thing. The blood of Jesus doesn't just course through his head, the head of the body. It courses through the whole body. And it's continuous. What I was looking up on the internet, most of them say, some of them say a little different. I don't know which one's right, but it doesn't matter because it's pretty close anyway. Usually, most of them say about every 60 seconds, basically, blood makes a full trip from the heart to wherever it's going, back to the heart. 60 seconds. And that's what's happening continuously to us in the body of Christ who are walking in the light, all the light we have. We might not even have all the light yet. How many of you know none of us do? But we're walking in what we have. We're being a doer of what we know. Yeah. And what he says, what about the rest of the things we're just messing up and we don't know about it? The blood keeps cleansing, keeps purging, keeps washing, moment by moment, by moment, by moment, by moment. Hallelujah. You know as well as I do that if you've gone, as you've grown spiritually, you look back at a few years ago where you thought you were a humdinger. And you were at the time. You're walking in all the light. But you look back at where you are now compared to where you were then, and you're like, oh, I wasn't a humdinger now. Now I'm a humdinger. Back then I wasn't a humdinger. Well, do you know that God saw all that lack of humdingerness? Come on, preacher. back there those years ago? And you were walking in the joy of the Lord and good fellowship and the blessings and victories and without guilt and without shame.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
How did that work? You had a lot of things you didn't know what you was doing. I'll tell you how. You walking in all the light and the blood. And the blood just kept cleansing you, cleansing you, cleansing you, cleansing you. That's 1 John 1:7, and we're not done with that. Extra, come Sunday and read all about it. Hallelujah. This will set you free. It'll set you free from guilt and shame. It'll set you free. It'll give you boldness in the presence of God. Listen, this will change your prayer life. No longer will you come in like a peon, begging, God, you know, I know I haven't been that good. No, you'll come with your head up. Oh, okay, I'll say it now. I was going to say it later, but how many of you want to hear it right now? One of the things about, you know, the Bible says there's redemption in his blood. Isn't that right? Let's remind ourselves, the Bible says, this is in Hebrews 10, verse number 19, I believe. It talks about having therefore, brethren, boldness. Now, the context is verse 17 and 18, where the remission of sin through the blood and cleansing from the through the blood means there's no more offering for sin, no more penalty we have to pay for sin. For us to say, well, I'll do this and this to show God I'm really sorry, is us offering another sacrifice and saying the blood of Jesus wasn't enough. We got to learn to just put faith in the blood. And so he said, because of that, having therefore, brethren, boldness. In Bible school, they said, when you see therefore, stop and see what it's there for. It's connecting the previous verses. Because of the blood, because of the remission of our sin through the blood, having therefore, brethren, boldness to come into the holiest, that means the holy presence of God, like that inner court, you know, where the blood was applied in the Old Testament, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ. By a new and living way. Isn't that right? Having boldness. Now, the Rotherham Emphasized Bible says, rather than having boldness, it says, we have freedom of speech in the holy place. Oh. Freedom of speech. Well, that's boldness if you think about it. You have the right to speak up at the throne room. So let's think about it. You ready to think about it? What the word redemption means is a ransom or deliverance or freedom through the payment of a price. You ever heard of somebody say, you know, we take somebody hostage and you got to give us this money and we'll give you the child back or whatever. They're asking, that's one definition of redemption is to pay the price to get us. God, Jesus, through his blood, paid the price to get us back. I know it's so simple, but it's profound. He paid the price. His shed blood was the price paid to get us back, but not just get us back. He didn't just redeem us back to himself. Amen. He purchased our freedom. Freedom from the devil who held us in bondage, but also purchased our freedom of speech at the throne of grace in the presence of God. Not only are you recognized and accepted there, what you say is recognized and accepted there. Oh, see, now here's where prayer comes in. Are you still out there? See, people that pray, people that are righteousness conscious, I'm not talking about their own righteousness, I'm talking about righteousness through the blood. Because the Bible talks about, we read it there in Romans 3:25. You remember that the propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness, right, that means right standing with God. In other words, pleasing to God, but it also means rights. Yeah. The throne of grace is not just a place of fellowship, it's a getting place. Yeah. Yeah. It's a place where you have the right to speak up and say, Lord, I read in your word. Yeah. You said. And I just want to thank you for being faithful to your covenant. See, every word in this Bible is covenant. But listen, it's not just covenant, it's blood covenant. This is what God swore in blood. This is God's word sworn in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Every word of God has blood on it. Every word of God is your right, and you can speak up and claim it at the throne of grace. Are you still out there? I don't know how you can sit there. This will light your fire. Amen. You won't need it. You'll be the one singing, there's power, power. See, we're looking at the ingredients that's in the blood. God sent us the printout. So one of the ingredients in the blood is boldness at the throne. In other words, we can come boldly and make our claim of faith on our rights and privileges, and we owe no apologies to God or anyone else for having the blessings of God. Amen. Remember what Colossians 1 says, verse 11, 12, 13, down and through there? It talks about, let's go over there real quickly. I'm not going to take much time. I think you know it. But it's not enough to know it. We must meditate on these things. It tells us in Colossians 1, verse 11, verse 12 would be the right place to start. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet. That means qualified. Made us worthy. Made us fit. Or given us the right. To do what? To made us meet. To be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. How did he do that? He delivered us from the power, that means the authority, really, of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have what? Redemption through his blood. That's how he made us worthy, through his blood. Or through the redemption that is in his blood. We got the printout, redemption's in the blood, but we're not just redeemed from the devil, although it says we are, but we're also given a right to stand before the throne of grace, and we are our right of speech to speak up in the presence of God is redeemed. We have rights in the presence of God. Not only are we redeemed, but our freedom of speech has been brought back to us. God honors in his presence, his word at his throne, he honors it as if he said it, because he initially is the one that said it. I tell you, sin consciousness makes cowards of men, but righteousness consciousness makes men bold. Very outspoken. You never read people in the Old Testament. We read Moses and Abraham. We looked at them praying, talking to God in ways that people today would slap your mouth for saying it. But see, they knew their rights. Whoa, makes them bold. Are you out there? So our freedom of speech in the holy place has been redeemed. Whenever we come into the presence of God, we're given freedom to speak words of faith based on what God said in his word. We don't have to cower in fear. Don't have to cower in shame. He's made us worthy. Colossians, we read it. Made us meet to be partakers. In other words, worthy. He made it right. In other words, this is right for us to do this. You ever read the book of Isaiah where it talks about these certain ones that do the things that please him and lay hold of his covenant? He likes it. Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him. And here's why. Because whenever we exercise faith at the throne for our rights and privileges, then he can really do for us what all he's laid up for us and planned to do for us in the fountain. And he's not happy unless you're walking in it. And so when you come and you start claiming your claim of faith, he's like, a big smile comes across his face. And he's happy to see you. You read in the book of Job. In fact, let's go back there. I think it'd be good to go back. This verse needs to be one you put down and meditate on, and some other translations even. I didn't think about this until I was just preaching right now. Look at Job chapter number, let's see if I can find it here. Let's go to chapter number 33, Job 33. If you look at verse 22, 23, 24 down and through there, God is, Job is making mention of the fact there was nobody to stand between him and God. But once God found somebody, he's prophesying, then God is gracious to man and says, deliver soul from going down to the pit. I found a ransom. Have we just read that word? Ransom. Redemption means the payment of a ransom. I found a ransom. That's Jesus. Put a note there by your Bible. That's Jesus. Then this man whose redemption, the ransom price was paid for, his flesh, verse 25, be fresher than of a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. Right here's healing. There's healing, really. This is the main thing he's talking about is healing here. He shall pray unto God. He, the man that needed this, shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. He will see his face with joy. And he will render unto man his or God's righteousness. Notice that. He'll see his face with joy. In other words, when you come in to make your claim, God smiles and said, oh, I'm so glad you came. No flash water here. Oh, I'm telling you, we got to meditate in this because this causes you to rise up on the inside and say, yes, it's right for me to be healed. Yes, it's right for me to be blessed. And I owe nobody any apologies for it. I love a story I heard about Jerry Seville. I think a couple other ones that happened too. They flew over their houses when the news media cameras trying to criticize them and all that. And Jerry, I think it was Brother Jerry Seville wrote on his house roof, yes, I'm blessed. With some flour or something up there. I don't remember how he did it. No, in other words, he's saying, I owe no apologies. No apologies.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Some of you don't like it. But you still have the right to have it. Hallelujah. There's no shame in approaching the throne of God and making your claim on your rights and your inheritances. He'll not slap you in the back of the wrist when you come and say, you greedy thing, you. Listen, if he didn't want us to have it, why'd Jesus go to the great price to pay for it for us? If we're wrong for coming, then what was all this payment for? I mean, hallelujah. So there's no slap on the wrist. We can come boldly to the presence of the Father and speak up and be confident. In fact, go over to you're in Colossians. Go over to Philippians. No, where are you? Go to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians, and there's another verse you need to write down. Let's look at Ephesians chapter number 3. Verse 12, in whom, the context is in Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. That needs to be a part of your confession. In other words, I always say it this way, I have bold and confident access to the presence of God and all my privileges.
Amen.
Bold and confident. See, if you're not careful, you'll come in sheepishly. But God wants you to come in bold. That's blood conscious whenever you come in bold. Woo, glory. Are you still out there? In other words, you're very outspoken in the presence of God. You ever met somebody who, sometimes you see it mostly in politics or things like that, but whenever a discussion starts, they just dominate. They're very strong about what they believe. They're very frank. Where's Frank? We have a man named Frank here. They're very frank about it. They're free or unreserved in their speech. They speak up. In fact, they speak up very freely, and they're given to speaking freely. I was looking up the definition here. And they state their position openly. So much so that it's almost rude. You ever been around somebody like that? You know what I'm talking about. They're very opinionated. That's called outspoken. Well, God wants you to come into the throne of God and do it freely. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Without reservation about the rights that are afforded you. Because you're established in righteousness. We're looking at the scan, at the printout tonight of what's in the blood. This is one of the ingredients that's in the blood. If you're not walking in this at the throne of grace, then you need to meditate more on the report.
Amen. That's good. That's really
that says this is in the blood for you. That helps me. Does that help you like it helps me? Hallelujah. Because you're established in the word of righteousness through knowledge of what the blood has done for you, you have a lot to say about redemption, and you say it freely. The Bible said, I'm just quoting the Bible, Psalm 107:2, let the redeemed of the Lord. How many of you know that applies to the presence of God? That applies to in your prayer life. Say so. You got something to say. You got something to say about your redemption. You know, you read the report. This is in the blood. And so you speak up freely about the blessings that are yours. And how many of you know when it comes to the accuser? Because if you read over there in Revelation 12:11, it talks about the accuser of the brethren. They overcame him. The blood of the Lamb, blood of the Lamb, and the word. If you look at the context, he's talking about when you go to the throne of grace. When you go to prayer and say, Father, I'm going to make my claim. And the devil's always there to say, who do you think you are? You know how you messed up.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, come on. It's true.
You know what I'm talking about. I mean, he's there to harass you. And so at the throne of grace, whenever he speaks up like that, you're going to have to outdo his web of lies and be more outspoken than he is, and that voice of condemnation is. You know what I'm talking about? And you got to just be frank and bold in that position and say, I declare the blood of Jesus has redeemed me from everything you're saying right here. And you start reading him the printout. This is in the blood. My freedom of speech at the throne of grace is in the blood. And I have a lot to say about the subject, devil, and I'm going to be rude whenever you try to interrupt me, and I'm going to say, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything out of that one?
Yes, sir.
That's only one of the ingredients in the blood. So what the blood of Jesus does when it's coursing through the body, I'm not talking about your physical body. I'm talking about the body of Christ. And we're going to talk more about that, I believe, on Sunday. Well, there's some things to look at. But when that is going through us constantly like that, the blood of Jesus is keeping us bold. And it's washing. Remember I said the blood of your my physical body, it removes toxins and removes waste and things like that. By constantly speaking the faith you have in the blood, then that faith in the blood keeps washing you from sense of guilt and unworthiness at the throne of grace. Just like your blood in your body keeps removing stuff. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, sometimes I can look at people and I think, yeah, somebody needs to take out the garbage there. That's what the blood's doing. It's washing the garbage out. It's washing the garbage out. Amen. Are you still out there? I'm having a good time tonight. Tell your neighbor the garbage is being removed. Hallelujah. Where the blood is not circulating, the garbage is accumulating. Do you know the health of your physical body is not just based on the health of your blood? It's based on that blood circulating. Is it diabetes? What is it sometimes where the blood's not? No, I think I'm wrong about that. Where the blood sometimes doesn't get down into the veins or actually the vessels down in people's legs and toes and so on, and their toes start dying? What is it? Any disease that affects your blood flow. If you know, in the smaller places where it's got to get through, it's not getting down there to ride or something, and that starts dying. That's why sometimes they amputate people's legs, toes. Not good enough circulation. Hello? and garbage starts accumulating and death starts. Why? Why death? Because the life is in the blood. In the blood of Jesus, everything your being, your spirit, your whole being needs is in the blood of Jesus. And if it's not circulating properly. Now, there's a couple of things I'm going to talk about what I mean by not circulating properly. But if it's not circulating properly, number one, through faith in it. You know, getting all the life that's in the blood through faith in the blood. If it's not circulating properly, then things start collecting. Garbage starts collecting. Things start dying. Amen. Where the blood is not circulating, garbage starts accumulating. You ever had trash build up in your house and for some reason you didn't take it out? You know, you were waiting on your spouse and she was waiting on you. Something in there starts to stink. Or the garbage man was snowed in for the last 3 weeks and it's out there in your garage or wherever. And you go out there and it's like, okay, I'm going to the garage. Amen. Well, that's what happens in people's lives whenever they're not getting the blood applied correctly and it's not, it starts stinking. Ew. Stinky attitude. There's more to that. Tell your neighbor, come on Sunday, you're going to get the rest of that. Amen. So, want to look at some more things that are in the blood? I don't know how far I'll get with this. Like I said, it brings nutrients. It also says it removes waste, like we said. Let's get into this one. It has immune system functions. This is primarily, they say, the white blood cells. There's more to the immune system than the blood, but the blood does have immune system functions. And by the circulation of these white blood cells, they detect and attack foreign material or antibodies or sometimes things like that. And they will, they're actually killer cells. Whoa. You ever had anything needs killed off? Praise the Lord. Let's talk about this one. Let's just go through some of these. Another one is the blood has, and there's all these terms, I don't know, Miss Sandra could come up here and rattle them off and we'd all be going, uh-huh, yeah, we understand, but we don't understand, you know. But it's basically the ability to clot. You know, if you cut yourself, the blood starts being lost there, blood loss. And so the blood cells will, some of the blood cells will start to, there's certain things that are activated in the blood, it said, and that activation will cause bloods to certain parts of the blood cells to go to there. They gather around there, and they release. I don't know all the details. Miss Sandra could tell you. They release certain things that makes it thicken, and that's why that scab forms and dries out and everything. It's coagulation, I believe it's called, where the blood it stops that flow of blood. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Do you know whenever a body of believers is walking in fellowship with one another, walking in the light, and we're in fellowship with one another in the body of Christ, and someone's hurting, someone's wounded, someone's cut, there's something in all of us that runs to that damaged area because we're staying in fellowship with the blood. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Another thing it says the blood does is it has messenger functions. Isn't that interesting? Messenger functions. What? Really, here's what I'm going to read. Scientists tell us that the blood of the human body has certain messenger functions. It transports hormones and other signals, such as signaling tissue damage. We just talked about that one. Throughout the body, blood plays an important role in regulating the body's systems and maintaining homeostasis, which is the ability to adjust its internal environment and maintain a stable equilibrium. It also regulates the body's pH and core body temperatures. Well, glory. Amen. I said, praise the Lord. So the messenger signals, I mean, let me just kind of say something about the 1 John 1:7. The Bible says, I'll quote it again. We didn't turn there tonight. But 1 John 1:7, it says, we walk in the light as he's in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Notice he connects the blood of Jesus cleansing continually as we walk in the light with us. And all the translations I've looked up, it's us. It's not just fellowship with God. It's referring to us being in fellowship.
Amen.
Amen. Us being in fellowship. Now, the blood of Jesus, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Now, what he's saying is, as we walk in the light, we have this continual cleansing, and we have this fellowship with one another. You know as well as I do, people walking in the cleansing, the continuous cleansing of the blood.
Yeah.
Not just back there when they got saved.
Right, right, right.
But people that walk in the continuous cleansing of the blood, you have more fellowship with them than you have the people just got cleansed back there one day, and a whole lot of stuff, a whole lot of garbage has collected since then. Because there's not much circulation. Why is there not much circulation? They're not in fellowship with what that blood is doing, and they're not in fellowship with people who have the continual cleansing of the blood. You and I are in the same body of Christ. And we're different members of the body. In fact, the Baptists, the Methodists, if they're born again, I'm not saying just because they're a denomination, but if they're born again, blood washed, saved through the blood of faith in the blood of Jesus, if they're blood washed, then we're a part of them. They're a part of us. But you know, we can't fellowship with everybody. I mean, if we meet them on the street, we have fellowship with them. But I mean, every day we don't see them and have fellowship with them. But there's something that flows through the whole body that every day touches us and touches them. It's circulating regularly. It's called the blood of Jesus. And for that reason, the blood in scientific journals that I've read is called a connective tissue. We have the bones that are connective tissue. We have like ligaments that are connective tissue. But blood is also in the category of a connective tissue. And they said the reason is because it talks to everything. It connects everything. It's sending messages to everybody. It's a connective tissue. And so we, not just God and us, we do with God, but we have fellowship one another as we're constantly cleansed by the blood. You know as well as I do, you get around somebody that's walking in all the light and they're constantly cleansed by that blood, you got good fellowship with them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I said all that to say, are you still out there? I'm going to close here in a few minutes. But those messenger functions there's a message being sent by the blood. Like if there's certain, notice it said, there's certain message functions. It transports hormones and other signals through the body. I think that's the main way, is through hormones and chemical messages. It's mostly chemical and hormones and things like that. And as these chemicals are released into the blood, it's talking to the whole body. It's talking to the whole body. Whoa. But people sometimes don't get the message because they're not in fellowship with the body. Amen. Sometimes we meet them regularly now. In fact, they're emailing us a lot now on the internet. I need this, I need that. And I think your need is to get the message that's flowing through the one, that's flowing to and through those who are always in circulation. Getting that message through the circulation of the blood. Does that make any, am I making any sense? When you get out of fellowship with the body of Christ, who has that, you know, life-giving, waste-removing blood, washing it and cleansing it, flowing through it, flowing over it, flowing in and out of it, you get the message. Oh, I'm so this, I'm so that. Get to where the message is.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. That's why when the devil says, or your flesh, and the devil gangs up with your flesh, says, I don't think I'm going to go to church, you better say, no, I'm going to get the message. I'm going to get the message. God connected me in the body, and I'm going to get the message. So many times we get emails, people, they need this, they need that. And I tell Ann all the time, other people that are helping us, tell them, who's your pastor? Where's your pastor? Who's, if they're ministers, who's your spiritual father? Where are you connected? And I'm not talking about just you listen to their CDs or their this or their that. I'm talking about who is seeing your face. See, to get that communication through the blood, you got to be connected. Hallelujah. There's a message. There's a message in the blood. Amen. The message in the blood is we're one. This body is not just the body of Christ. All the blood-washed body of Christ, we're all one. And the blood sends that message to everybody. The Baptists aren't in a different body than we are. The same blood that tells us we're in the body of Christ is telling them they're in the body of Christ, and we're all one. And every now and then in the body of Christ, we get a clue. We better stick together. Did you get anything out of that tonight? Oh, there's a whole lot in that printout. We're reading this, maybe for the first time, we're reading this heavenly printout of what's in the blood of Jesus. I heard one man said, I don't know, is this true, Miss? If you get one of those printouts, Miss Sandra, is there dozens or hundreds or how many things do they list? Is this in your blood?
They list about 20.
There's probably, I heard one guy say 200, and I didn't know who was right. That's what I was reading in the journals. The more you dig, there's all this, and then there's these proteins, and then there's these hormones, and then there's this and this and this and the serum and the platelets and the and you're like, whoa, God is smart. God is smart. Amen. And he put a lot of things in the blood of Jesus too, and I'm so glad he had the wisdom to do it. Amen. Well, glory. I did it. I preached myself happy. Amen. How many of you need some waste removed right now? Come on. I'm talking about guilt and shame and sickness and being discouraged. Yeah. Glory, 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 glory. You know, other people might remember what you did or what you've done, but not God. They might look down their nose when you come around, but when you come around God, he smiles. It's my child, blood washed, worthy to come, accepted in the beloved. Come and receive your inheritance. Come and let me fellowship with you and wash over you and renew your confidence that you're mine and that I love you and I got good things for you. But I messed up. Come here, let me take the trash out. Come here, let me take the trash out. Hallelujah.